me today on Let's Talk. During my times with you, I will be sharing some thoughts from my recent journey through the book of Revelation. And if you're like me, Revelation is one of those books that probably gets less attention than it deserves, because some of it can be pretty tough to understand and also can be pretty tough to apply to daily life. So let's get started. Today, I want to take a look with you at the seven churches found in Revelation chapters 1-3. And I want to begin by focusing on two small words, the words, I know. These two words are found near the beginning of each of the messages that Jesus gave to these seven churches. But before we do that, we need to take a moment to remind ourselves that the word church is not a reference to a building or a piece of property, but was a reference to an assembled group of God's people. And specifically here in Revelation, it refers to assembled groups of Christ's followers in the various locations mentioned in these chapters. These were seven cities that were sprinkled about the western and central portion of modern-day Turkey and no longer exist today. The locations in which these various groups of Christians found themselves were not only different geographically, but were also different culturally and politically, ideologically, economically, and socially. So the challenges one group of Christians faced in living out their faith for the Lord in one location were probably very different from the challenges that others would have faced in their own city and local setting. Can you imagine yourself today? Here we are in little Sebring, but imagine that you were a resident of downtown San Francisco rather than Sebring. Can you sense how much difference there would be in the cultural, political, economic, social, and ideological challenges that you might face? The comforting fact is that Jesus knows exactly what we're up against, no matter where we live, and no matter what kind of environment and pressures we face. So now let's take a look at what Jesus said that he knew about these people who assembled in his name in these various seven locations. To his followers in Ephesus, in Revelation 2, verses 2 and 3, Jesus said, "I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot endure evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. And you found them to be false. And you have persevered and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary." To his followers in Smyrna, in Revelation 2, verse 9, he says, "I know your tribulation and your poverty and the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not." To his followers in Pergamum, in Revelation 2, verse 13, he says, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name and did not deny my faith." To his followers in Thyatira, in Revelation 2, 19, he says, "I know your deeds and your love and your faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at the first." To his followers in Sardis in Revelation 3:1, Jesus said, "I know your deeds, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead." To his followers in Philadelphia in Revelation 3:8, Jesus said, "I know your deeds, that you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name." And finally, to his followers in Laodicea in Revelation 3, verse 15, Jesus says, "I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold." So what then are the things that Jesus knew about them? What did he notice? Of what was he fully aware? Well, to begin with, in five of the seven messages, did you notice that Jesus started with the statement, "I know your deeds"? We might be able to fool those around us by talking the talk, but it won't cut it with Jesus. He knows whether our talk and our walk line up with each other. But let's look a little bit deeper at this list of what Jesus tells them he knows. Because in this list, we are both wonderfully comforted and specifically challenged in our life with him. So listen to all the things Jesus tells these Christians that he is aware of about them, and by extension, what he is aware of about us. He says, I know your toil. I know your perseverance, your ability to detect truth from error, your ability to discern true leaders from false leaders, your ability to endure. I know your tribulations. I know your poverty. I know your blasphemous opposers, the people who are giving you real problems about your faith in Christ. I know the cultural difficulties that surround you. I know your love, your faith, your past and present track record of serving. I know if you're serving in name only. I know that some of you have little power. I know some are refusing to deny my name. I know that you have fervency or indifference about living for me. I know of your need for dependence, or I also know of your independence from me. As I said earlier, this list can be both comforting and challenging to us depending on the state of our heart and the condition of our faith. For those listening today who are giving it their best shot to walk with Jesus, even in the face of occasional setbacks, unexpected trials, or painful moments of ridicule and misrepresentation, you can take comfort in knowing that Jesus sees you right where you are. He is fully aware of all that you are facing and all with which you struggle. Lean on him. Share your struggles with him in prayer. And also, find a trusted Christian friend who you can look to for encouragement and for prayer support. On the other hand, for those of you listening today who might be Christians in name only, who talk the talk but don't walk the walk, or who prayed a prayer long ago to receive Jesus, but today have little interest in following him and are indifferent to the things of God, it may be a bit uncomfortable for you to realize that Jesus is also fully aware of where you are at in your life with him right now. And his message for you is plainly stated in the last portion of these three chapters where he writes to these seven churches. In Revelation 3, verse 19 and 20, Jesus says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. His message to you, coming from his heart full of love for you, is please turn around, come back, open the door to me again. Please hear my voice filled with love for you and filled with the desire for you to be with me again. It's never too late to come back to him. There's no such thing as a hopeless cause with Jesus. Your journey home begins with the first small step. Let today be the day that you begin your journey back to Jesus. Here's one last thing to think about. What if every person in our church was as devoted to Jesus as you are? What kind of impact would our church have in this community? That's kind of hard to think about, but it's something that we all should really think seriously about if we really want to honor the Lord with our life. Well, I hope today our time has brought you both comfort and challenge in your walk with the Lord. I look forward to sharing more with you from my journey through Revelation again in the days ahead. So we'll see you then.